The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing deep to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, critical of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, Genesis chapter 3, read our analysis of verse 7. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that God the Holy Spirit has his rightful place of rulership over the real you, over the soul. That is, by being in fellowship, we're able to get in fellowship, to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. In other words, through the rebound technique, in regards to recognition of our personal sin alike before God, acknowledging that sin or sins, and therefore he forgives us experientially. This is the grace design that he's provided for us believers in regards to operating under the umbrella of absolute righteousness experientially, although we live in a sinful state of flesh. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truths and matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in our narrative, in our passage, we have the first sin committed by the human race. With regards to Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, who were the only two human beings in existence at the time in history. In spite of what they thought would happen, the reality then smacks them in the face after they eat the fruit, and they have the immediate consequences and effect of what this supernatural fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had in store for them. And that actual effect is seen in the first examples of human good, that is, self-righteousness, becoming a part of their life now. Rereading the verse, verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. As we noted in the beginning here of the analysis, the three virtues of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as perceived by the woman, is that which, if you will, ushers in the climax here of the narrative. The first, obviously, thing that occurs with brevity immediately is the fatal step of eating other fruit, as she saw that the tree was good for food. In regard to verse 6, the three virtues, the woman saw, she perceived that the tree was good for food, and then that it was delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. So obviously the eating other fruit is the issue. It is key in regards to this whole story, as that is the one command that God has laid upon them to not do, not to eat, digest this fruit off this particular tree. But they both do so, as we know the woman has been deceived, who then gives it to the man, and he knowingly sins and eats it in that regard. Now, on either side of the eating of the fruit, we see here a contrast, and that is the aspects of her perception of the fruit being a delight to her eyes, and also that it was desirable to make one wise. And that contrast is set in focus here in regards to that their eyes were opened, paralleling the light to the eyes, and that they knew they were naked. That's the wisdom that came upon them. That was the supposed desire of wisdom that she perceived. And obviously, the contrast offset by what actually happens highlights Eve's inflated expectation in regards to this under her deception by falling for the false doctrine that was in front of her. She imagines something that truly is not even a reality in this respect. So, obviously, what they are able to now perceive, and knowing that they were naked, is a piece of wisdom, not like what was promised by the serpent of exalting them or exalting her to be like God. And instead, it is not, instead of being divine wisdom, the wisdom that now is part of their intellectual makeup and understanding is an earthly wisdom. Wisdom that is, if you will, abased in regards to divine wisdom, in contradiction to what God truly wants us to think and how He thinks otherwise in regards to His person. And this all is as a result now of the newly acquired indwelling sin nature, the indwelling sinful trend of Adam, that is obviously the genetic results of eating of this supernatural fruit. So the expectation here is a complete reversal of what was expected. And just pick up point 10, page 14 of our notes. In this aspect, that is opposite of what they would had hoped for, or at least the woman. We note the inversions of roles that occurred prior to this that characterize this narrative, in particular how the man listens to his wife as she said whatever she said, and he was convinced to eat it, no matter what his motivation might have been otherwise. But he obviously submits to her in that regards, and the fact that the woman listened to the creature, adhered to him instead of her right authority. So, 11, a life of blissful innocence is turned upside down due to rebelling against God's established authority, or authorities in this case. Again, God's big on authority. Learning to be acclimated to authority is part of life in and of itself. Even in the cosmos, they recognize the importance of authority, no matter how they may abuse it otherwise. And God is the one that establishes authority, the very principle of authority. He is behind all authority. And here, God's authority, as He established it, was not adhered to. And consequences that have negative impact on them ends up being the result in spite of what they might have thought otherwise. God's authority is sovereign because indeed He is the Creator. We know what He expects of us based on the truth of Bible doctrine, His words, just as Adam and Eve knew what was expected of them via God's words given to them, albeit face-to-face in their situation. But yet it remains still the same in regards to one's responsibility today via the written scripture, whether God's presently before you face-to-face or Jesus Christ is moot in that respect. That whole idea that you hear Christians come up with, well, if Jesus was just in front of me, I know I could live a better Christian life, is nothing but hogwash and rationalization. The kind of life you're going to live before God is determined by your own soul. And truly, it makes no difference who is around you. and who affects you otherwise. It comes from the willingness to be obedient and line up with God and His plan and commit yourself to do so, or to rebel against it, His authority in that respect, and go off and do your own thing. So, 12, as an immediate consequence here of eating from the tree, the two are rudely introduced to life, now being led by the genetically engineered as sin nature. The sin nature, as Paul states, resides in our flesh. It is part of our fleshly makeup. There are those out there that poo-hoo this concept. Oh, the idea that sin is kind of like a disease. Well, how else are you supposed to take it? When Paul said, sin, that is my flesh. You know, it's part of the genetic makeup in regards to our bodies. And it's inherited from our parents. And ultimately, it's inherited from our corporate parents, Adam and Eve. And now, something that was not part of the reality of Adam and Eve and creation becomes that reality, and it gives a rude awakening in regards to a life that was utopia otherwise. It was perfect in all respects. Again, this whole idea of environment, society, and things of this nature dictating what people and how people are going to act and decisions they make otherwise in regards to their character. Well, they had a perfect environment. And obviously, there was no one twisting their arm in regards to the decision they made. They simply got their eyes off of God. Their volition faltered temporarily at this point in time in their history. And they made a huge mistake. And now their world is, if you will, upside down. And often that's what happens when we get under our SGA. We make stupid decisions in life. And what was going on in your life smoothly, which you may be acclimated or misacclimated to one way or the other. Always wanting to change your SCA, always got to have change. Now, me, you give me an uneventful day after day, I'm a happy camper. But then we do, and sometimes we make stupid decisions, and truly, our life just becomes completely disrupted. Other things can do that also, but the sin nature itself. And here we see this pictured in regards to Adam and Eve, in this blissful setting, as husband and wife, living together in the garden, and their life now being turned upside down. And it didn't happen over time. It happens immediately. And the crazy thing in regards to it happening immediately, it happens in their thinking, in their mind. See, this is why Bible doctrine is as important as it is, because it deals with our thinking. Your thinking gets off track, you let the sin nature rule it, then you get out of step and you truly lose contact with a life of peace, harmony, etc., life has to offer under God's blessing otherwise, by being obedient to His word. Certain aspects of living that people generally recognize, but is obviously undervalued greatly by our society, of being at peace with oneself, being guilt-free in regards to our conscience and things of this nature. No matter what else is going on around you, you have those attributes, those characteristics that are attributed to yourself. Why people are able to do certain things that to others, they go, wow, where do they have the will for that? See. 13, now the serpent's prediction, you surely shall not die, or dying you shall not die, seems for the moment to be true. But the vision, obviously, a specialized insight, turns out to be a big letdown. And the letdown exposes in regards to the death promise of God in judgment of now being in effect, as we will see. So 14, eyes open, refers to a new perspective here, a perspective that involves sin and guilt. 15, usually eyes open is a good thing, but not in this instance. To become aware of new information, no matter what subject it may be, usually is enlightening, and people appreciate that. But in this case, the information that they came upon and this new awareness they acquired is less than desirable. So 16, the very first thing that hit them was a new awareness of their nudity. A marital relationship that was complete innocence between the two, completely open, and as free as one could ever expect to have a relationship with a member of the opposite sex ever in their lives. And that is, they did all this, and it's represented the fact they did all this being naked. That's how God created them, and that's how they lived and existed together in this respect. But now they have a new awareness. What they did not consider to be of any issue in innocence now suddenly is an embarrassment to them. So 17, before the fall, they thought nothing of it. As 2:25 makes clear, as it was as natural as anything in their surroundings. 18, now they suddenly feel guilt. And the newly acquired sin nature causes disruption in what was previously a guilt-free relationship. Now, even now, even with a sin nature, a husband and wife generally feel comfortable around one another in regards to their bodies without clothing. If you're not, then you got a problem in regards to your own STA self-centeredness. People need to let go of that kind of selfishness of thought. You are what you are, physically. There should be no guilt between husband and wife in regards to their appearance towards one another. But something that existed previously now is gone. And even though they're husband and wife, they're married legally before God, all of a sudden there is this uneasiness and embarrassment and shame and guilt that's associated with their nakedness. And obviously it comes about by the fact that they know they're guilty before God in regards to disobedience before Him. And that fine-tunes you in regards to all the physical things in life. They are now under spiritual death. So the spiritual realities around them that they once were privy to and adhered to becomes like a doormat, if you will. Something that they would hardly recognize in their own thinking, if you can wrap your mind around this concept. So it's kind of like opposite for us. You know, we look at it from the perspective of always having an STA. They didn't have one. And when they didn't have one, they were adjusted to God. They embraced all the doctrine. And then all of a sudden they lose this ability, this capability with the newly acquired sin nature. So 19, they are like a person that is suddenly separated from their clothing and feeling shame, frantically searching for a suitable covering. 20, the previous serenity of a perfect life is suddenly shattered. 21, what was once known as a healthy relationship is now unpleasant and awkward. You let your SCA go and have its way in regards to relationships, and that's, you know, usually what happens. Unpleasantness, conflict, things of this nature. And that's all you can thank the SCA in regards to what it produces for you. So, 22, in their fallen state, state of spiritual death, now minus the human spirit. See, their human spirit's been taken from them. That is the definition of spiritual death. They did not rise above what the SCA, which was programmed with respect to good and evil, was telling them. And so, rest in the fact that God had placed them on the earth naked, and so it must not be an occasion for shame. Part of acclimation and orientation to doctrine is the capability and ability to faith rest and to accept, yeah, this is what God's will is. And hence you move on in regards to any other potential distractions that your SCA or other SCAs are trying to impose upon you to shake you from that. But under spiritual death, under absolute rulership of the SCA, you do not rise above the doctrine or above the SCA in regards to what the doctrine has to state otherwise. And for them, obviously, logically, they could deduce that, well, what are we feeling guilty for? It's the way God created us. It's the way we've always been. What makes it different? And often the SCA, as it does in this case, targets a non-issue, really, and makes it an issue to try to rationalize for your misbehavior. Because really, their nakedness is a non-issue. Oh, well, why are they looking at it and making it the issue? Because they don't want to admit their guilt. See, their real guilt before God. And understand that rationalization is a part of the makeup of man throughout history, of not wanting to face God. And they will rationalize with any and every kind of excuse they can come up with so that they don't have to be in Bible class and place themselves before the teaching of Bible doctrine, which is exposes them for what they are. See, each and every one of us. So 23, the doctrine they had in this respect is now being overruled with human viewpoint, hostile to the doctrine. As part of the repercussions of having a sin nature, it is our very nature in and of itself, left by itself, apart from God's intervention with the plan of salvation, etc., to be antagonistic to doctrine, hostile to it, and not being able to understand it truly and fully. Hence the need of God the Holy Spirit in the communicative role of doctrine to man, even at the point of making salvation adjustment under his convicting ministry as he intercedes on behalf of the unbeliever to understand the gospel and the real issues. So 24, here we have no direct evidence that the serpent chided him for being naked, though possible. One may try to come up with why, you know, they are looking at this in this way. Well, the serpent maybe railed on him, you know, made fun of him. Yeah, it could be possible, but there's nothing said. The scripture is totally silent in that regards. But either way, 25, however, the newly acquired STA, with the newly acquired SCA, that is not necessary for them to now suspect the plan of God. See, that's what's happened. They've taken the plan of God and they've made it suspect. The sin nature, that's what it did. See, it makes them all of a sudden question the doctrine that they did have as a frame of reference previously. The FCA will try to stir doubt in regards to the teaching. But through your positive volition, God the Holy Spirit, you can overcome these things, see. 26, it appears now that this possessed snake retreated from the immediate vicinity of the crime once achieving his objective. He at least dismisses himself from their immediate presence at this point in time. Sit back, you can see him sitting back, if you will, kind of watching this scenario. He's not completely gone, because he's going to get judged. And Satan doesn't immediately leave the serpent either, because God will corner him in the judgment pointed towards the snake. See. But the visual that I see from this is kind of the serpent now just sits back and watches the thing. Yeah. Watch it in 3D. So 27, where we left off. It is quite amazing how quickly their genetics kicked in after the simple act of eating. Just by eating this one fruit from this tree, and now their whole genetics has mutated. And truly, we would call this a mutation. Because a mutation never produces anything better than. It always produces something less than what was originally the genetic creature or whatever. So that's one of the aspects of the lies of science that are out there in evolution. You know, they're trying to push mutations as instrumental and essential in regards to evolution. But science and history has always proved that mutation never produces anything better. It's always less either less intelligent or less physically capable, and things of this nature in regards to mutations. So immediately they eat, and immediately there is a change in their DNA structure. 28, by all appearance, whatever properties this super fruit possessed transformed their DNA once it entered the bloodstream. Once it got into the bloodstream, obviously that carries it throughout the rest of the body. We know that every cell of our body has been damaged by the FCA. It is part of the FCA DNA. It's part of the fleshly genetic code of the body in that regards. Now both Adam and Eve are filled with shame over something that was natural and healthy otherwise. That was natural and healthy otherwise. 30, the irony is that they are now filled with ignorance as they no longer look upon nudity as being the will of God. They went from wise and enjoyment of life under true wisdom to being stupid. They got stupid with one another as they will get stupid with God. See. So, truly, the wisdom promised was false by Satan. What they acquired is wisdom that was ignorant in regards to that which is essential or beneficial in regards to the good of mankind. That's a thing that people don't understand in regards to human viewpoint often. That all it does is make you stupid. It's not truly beneficial for you before God. Oh, it may benefit you and other circles that like to think like that are negative temporarily. But all that will come to an end. See, all of this will be eventually brought before God, before the person of Jesus Christ, and it is wisdom that, by wisdom that we'll be judged based on God's omniscience and the truth of Bible doctrine. And you're going to stand before Him, and you're going to be represented as being a very wise person, or you're going to be exposed as being stupid. See, because you followed human viewpoint under your SCA rather than staying with the straight and narrow Bible doctrine. And this is all, again, as a result of acquiring this new sin nature. So nudity was God's operational and directive will for them. You go, wow, that had been fun. Well, yeah. Sorry about that. Now you got to get behind your closed doors as husband and wife. Can't go running around the garden. At least not around here. So 31, they traded spiritual sight for spiritual blindness. 32, now the feminine declension of the verb for their eyes, they were opened. Pekah. It's a feminine declension, even though our noun for eyes, ayin, is dual. The two of them, and the verbs are other verbs in regards to being open and knowing are masculine. So they were open. That verb, they were open. Pekah. Following the Hebrew that usually you go with a masculine if you have a masculine aspect at all. Here it is a grammatical reference, point 32 here, to the nishma, the breath, which is a feminine noun of life, indicating soul life back in 2:7. You got to identify the gender here. Why did he use a feminine verb here on a noun that is not feminine? And that is, it's pointing back to the nishma, the soul life, the breath of 2:7. And I note here for our notes, it's also interesting to note that bones, etzem, is also feminine, fitting its metaphorical use for soul in 2:23, as I brought that out when we did the doctrine of bones, etc. So one little aspect of the declension opens the doors for a level of understanding not otherwise perceived by the reader. So what was open in regards to their eyes is not physical, it's spiritual. So 33, what was open was the eyes of their souls. Yes, you have physical eyes that is able visually to see things, and you receive information to your brain computer through the eye gate, etc. But your soul also has capacity of insight, has spiritual capacity. When your soul leaves your body, you'll still have visual perception. So what was open was the eyes of their souls. Not in a good way. 34, the passive, the nifal stem of the verb, points to the SCA as the outside agent causing this new perspective to life. So the language obviously supports our interpretation of what's going on here. So 35, the acquisition of the SCA affects in a negative fashion the relationship of Adam and Eve as husband and wife. Verse 36, they disengage in the first act of human good or works by sewing together fig leaves as coverings for their private parts, for their genitalia. So, and a whole new perception of shame is now upon them, and they react to that. And that is by trying to cover up what they're ashamed of. So 37, fig leaves are broad and long and function as, if you will, ad hoc coverings on the spot. But they did this off the cuff. And this, in turn, now shows an impetuous side of their nature to immediately react. And, oh, we got to do this, got to do that. Yeah. That type of deal. Which is generally a part of growing up spiritually and young kids and children and things of that nature being impetuous. So 38, now the noun loin coverings, which is chagora in the Hebrew, is used elsewhere of a belt. Something to put around your waist. Otherwise, 1 Kings 2:5. Now you also know what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner the son of Ner, to Abner the son of Jether, whom he killed. He also shed the blood of war and peace, and he put the blood of war on his belt about his waist, momentum, or buckle, or whatever, and on his sandals and on his feet. Also Isaiah 3:24. Now it will come about that instead of sweet perfume, there will be putrefaction. Instead of a belt, a term, a rope to hold up one's trousers. Instead of well-set hair, a plucked-out scalp, etc., etc. So those two verses, denotes this term used simply as a belt, something fairly slim around you. So 39, the term emphasizes the skimpiness of their clothing. What they put together as loin coverings, barely, if it did at all, completely covered them up. So 40, though largely ineffective, their actions obviously suggest urgency and desperation. Urgency and desperation. As the verses will make clear, obviously there is another expectation set before them, and that is they know they're going to have to face God, whether they want to or not. Their normal Bible class is coming up. And their Bible, their pastor teacher, if they weren't there, he was looking for them. Glad I don't do that. Where are you at? So their actions suggest urgency, desperation, just trying to cover their bases. 41, rather than waiting on God for answers, they engage in a self-atoning, self-protecting activity, sewing together makeshift aprons. So 42, a characteristic of the natural man, one under the SCA, is to set up his own system of morality, often including human good activity. So the sewing together of the fig leaves is a desperate act to atone for their guilt. Their guilt in the way that they perceive it to be, or they want to express it as such, as they will before God. And that is concerning their nakedness. And it is an act of, if you will, human good, if they consider themselves guilty of being naked, and they're ashamed of that, then to cover that would be their recourse trying to eliminate the situation or to eliminate the problem, to atone for it, see. And obviously their actions is evidence of one that now are not in touch with the truth of doctrine and God in this respect. That's point 43. What we see here and in the narrative to follow is man operating under spiritual death. So 44, in this state we see maladjustment to one another, here symbolized by the fig leaf aprons. So the belts they made obviously were literal, but they have further implications attached to them as they symbolize trying to cover up their actions. See. So 45, they abandoned the high ground of their operational and viewpoint will of God for this new knowledge of good and evil that obviously turns out to be worthless. It gets them nowhere. The high ground always is Bible doctrine and its application. God's operational viewpoint will, what God wants us to think, say, and do. And God has that will for us. They lost that, if you will. They abandoned it so that they can have this new perception, new perspective in life. And that knowledge is worthless and does nothing to undo what they have gotten themselves into. So 46, their success in hiding their nakedness from one another did not free them from the guilt of their sin. Forty-seven, the new conscience is corrupted and regards the natural and pure as evil. And that's the way the world does look at doctrine often, as they relate to it. You know, it's stupid. It's archaic. It's not right. It's not right to leave a whelp on your disobedient son's leg with a switch. Jerks. You know, that's the world for you. So the STA, obviously, that becomes part of every DNA makeup of our cells, includes the brain computer. Our brain computer is made of flesh, and our thinking becomes corrupt, and it becomes backwards, you know, as Scripture states in regards to the reversionist, what is good is wrong, and what is wrong is good, you know, that concept. Things are reversed in regards to those who operate under their STA. So 48, their answer to their alienation from one another is human good. There's nothing more than human good. 49, it is an attempt at self-righteousness relative to overturning the guilt they now perceive. See. Human good is nothing more than self-righteousness. And it's relative. It's not absolute, like we know the righteousness that we must possess in order to serve God and have a relationship with God. It's relative. It's relative to the act of disobedience or the guilt that one perceives. And hence one turns around and they think, well, if I do this, I do that, or whatever. Yeah. Then I can undo the wrong that I did by 10 acts of doing something considered acceptable and good in a sacrificial way or whatever. See. So their sewing of the fig leaf aprons to cover their private parts was nothing more than an attempt of self-righteousness. Trying to hide what they really are now. Evil individuals. Sinful flesh. Operating under a sin nature. 50, human good characterizes the fruit of good and evil, which is, again, as I stated, misunderstood by a vast majority of Christians of what that really means, is human good and evil. And human good characterizes the fruit of good and evil that places it in a category less than righteous based on human viewpoint. Again, you know, you can hammer on this for every day of the rest of your life in regards to people that think that, okay, because someone thinks just a little bit differently than what doctrine has in its true form for application, that's all right. Because look what good they're doing for others around them. Well, you may accept it, the world at large may accept it, but God doesn't. He looks at it as nothing better than filthy menstrual rags. See? That's the way he looks at it. Truly. I mean, is doctrine enlightening or what? We sit in the midst of Satan's world 4 hours out of the week and we get to escape all that BS and put ourselves in touch with the purity of pure gold of Bible doctrine to embrace and to accept the divine viewpoint, divine wisdom, so that we can engage in God's righteous good and escape all the other human viewpoint, human good that the world is madly rushing around trying to pursue and acquire and other things that are attributed to it. Get it out of that cow-petty mess of a world. You know, walking around getting your boots in it all the time. Well, we will see what we will see when we get to the Bema. Yeah, people can go, well, everybody makes their noises. Yeah, you're right. The voice in the world crying out in the wilderness makes his noise. We'll see who is right. We'll see when we stand before Jesus Christ, and in your own mind you're going, oh, man, I think just like you do. Or you go, ah, I can't turn that red on command. I could choke myself. See, being embarrassed. There's probably not too many things that you can think of, at least within my own person, in regards to standing before Jesus Christ, at least having that satisfaction. Yeah, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. Instead of one of the more dazed, confused people that recognize, I know what's going on, and it's not good. You know? So human good characterizes the fruit of good and evil, which is a product, a byproduct of the sin nature, and places it in a category less than righteous, less than acceptable before God. And that's all based on having an erroneous perception in regards to the plan of God, which is reality. 51, they have gone from absolute righteousness in their state of innocence to a new self-righteousness in the sphere of trying to conquer the effects of the SCA. That is, the hoops now they are jumping through. 52, this scene in principle has been played out over and over throughout history in man's religious attempts to conquer the evil within. To go in and form up our own traditions of men, our own means of good, relative to what we perceive out there in the world, rather than sticking with the straight dictates of Bible doctrine. This is how we will conquer these unseemly ideas and thoughts that we may have in life. This whole scenario is played out over and over and over. See, they are now forming their new first religion. Human good, self-righteousness. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to enlighten and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.